Hello, welcome back to episode number 5 of the Access Point podcast, a podcast dedicated to video game discovery and telling the stories of the people who make them. My name's Richard Marsh, and with me, as always, Mr. Get Indie Gaming, Stuart.
Hello. Hi, Stuart. Hello. Yeah, how are you? It's slightly different. We normally record this in the morning, and yet here we are coming up to tea time here in the UK. And I'm going to say I'm in the UK even though I'm not, as people have kind of guessed where I'm based. So we'll leave it there. I'll still have an element of mystery. But yes, how's your day been?
Well, again, same as you. I've been at work since the early hours of the morning, so I'm struggling for words right now, so this should be fun.
Excellent. Well, we'll see how we go. I started at 11, although I only had a 5-hour shift today, so I am still refreshed, although I've been on my feet in a warehouse for the last X number of hours, so fun.
Yeah,
that's Let's have fun. Some fun, though.
Right, we've got so much to talk about, because for some reason it's just been a crazy week of stuff happening.
Yeah, it's been one of the busiest for a long, long time. So we've got lots to talk about. So let's crack on.
Well, I think the main place to start is the Netflix games news.
Yes.
So Netflix have launched today, actually. The 3rd of November. They've launched today a game streaming service, but it is only on Android.
At the moment, it's only on Android. So we all knew this was coming. At some point, I thought it was going to happen a few years ago, maybe. But since whenever it was, they said they were definitely doubling down and looking for gaming content. So, now, full disclosure, I do not have, and I have never had, a Netflix account.
What?
So I'm going into this fairly... I know, I'm a bit of a Luddite. The only time I've ever seen it is when I've sat on the remote control and Netflix has suddenly come up on my TV.
What's happening here?
So, I know, it's... You know, somebody said, oh, you don't need to buy it, just borrow somebody else's key, which sounds completely dubious. But apparently I did a Google, that is a thing.
It is. You just create someone a login details and you can just give them a login, their own password and everything.
Oh my God. So there's only 6 games at the moment as of today. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding.
Yes.
And you can download them from the Google Play Store, although you do need a Netflix subscription service.
Yes, so, that's right. Because I did have a quick look. I mean, I don't actually, I'm an iPhone user, so I don't have an Android, but I do have an old work phone that I tried to have a look. And it doesn't seem like I don't think you have a separate app. It's just the Netflix app.
I understand you buy it through the Netflix app and then you download the game from the Google Play Store. That's it. You do need the Netflix subscription. But so far, I mean, there's only 6. There's not that much to write home about. However, Netflix did recently buy Night School, the developer of Oxenfree. So their product and strategy teams, it seems they're not playing around and they are seemingly fairly serious about this. So I just hope the ecosystem is developer friendly, particularly the indies, and it's not based on streaming time or playing time, which you kind of think it may well be. But fingers crossed it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, first of all, on a side note, Oxenfree, I absolutely loved that game. What a game that was. I thought that was brilliant.
Terrific. Absolutely terrific.
But what are your views on streaming games as a service generally?
I have an issue with the ownership of that. Always read the small prints. And having, over the years, now from an in real life previous job, I'm no longer there, but I remember at Gamescom in 2019 having a meeting with the folks from Stadia on the press day for Get Indie Gaming. And it was just a meet and greet. Here's what we're doing. I know you didn't go, but they had a huge stand, and it was all very good. It was very posh, as you'd expect, and very well executed. And 2 hours later, I had another meeting with the same team, but this time with my work colleagues. So I was greeted by one of the guys saying, hey, nice to see you again. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm sorry, I don't think so. Because at the time, I was on a strictly no-compete, no other work outside of the job I'm actually doing.
Oops.
And Get Indie Gaming would have been considered a competition. So the guy didn't quite understand. And I was just trying to kind of be very polite and go, no, you misunderstood. But yeah, that was my Gamescom 2019, kind of tiptoeing around with my colleagues, knowing they were in the media day. And I was trying to do my own thing. And we traveled separately as well to avoid. And they were, Stu, why aren't you traveling with us? I've got stuff to do. I'll meet you in Cologne somewhere else. So I made sure I stayed well away from them. But I know I digress into anecdote. But
why are you wearing a beard and moustache?
The streaming services, the technology when it works, particularly Stadia, the upload speeds and download speeds, you don't need that much. The problem is for many parts, particularly say somewhere like America, where they still have not unlimited downloads, where they call it overage, and you hit, say, 5 gigs a month, and then every gigabyte thereafter, you get charged more. It's a standard business model of many of the internet providers in the States. We don't typically have that anymore here in the UK or in Europe. The regulators kind of said, no, that's not a very good thing. And as a customer experience thing, it's absolutely appalling because you're spending your entire time worried about bill shock. Do you remember that from the mobile days when you'd go on holiday and you'd come back with a £300 bill?
Yes.
And you'd only phoned your mum for 25 minutes. So similar deal. But the technology behind streaming, it works. I had the Google Stadia, which I bought myself to test when I was living in the Netherlands, but I had an amazing internet connection and I played a lot of Destiny that way because it works. I still am lacking the notion of game ownership because it can disappear from the platform. Same with the Xbox Game Pass. You don't own the game. You own access to it for as long as it's on the platform.
Yeah.
This is why a lot of my times, right, the games I really enjoy, I'll go and buy physical for the same sort of thing that if it's physically available, because I still want to be able to play it as and when something like the service goes down. So I think the days of a decent streaming service for games, we're not there yet. And I don't think it'll be a mass point of usage for customers for a long, long time for various reasons.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, for me, it's not something I'm not interested in. Even Google Stadia, streaming games directly does not interest me whatsoever. I mean, obviously I'm a bit of a collector. So having the physical stuff for me, it almost feels like a security.
Some of the stuff on paper, sorry to interrupt, particularly when they announced it 2 and a bit years ago, when they had that big showcase and you're streaming your game, you're watching it, you can press on a link and then go and start playing it immediately as a customer. Stuff like that discovery thing, brilliant. Doesn't work yet. Will it ever work? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of those things that will end up in the Google graveyard of things that we tried but got rid of, because they don't sit around on products that don't work.
I think if you look at it as like an add-on service that might be cool for a few people, again, it really does depend on what type of games they're going to be going for. I mean, but as a little add-on, I suppose, maybe you put it onto your kid's account, they can play a few games so you don't have to buy them a console and all that. Maybe it's kind of got a niche somewhere there.
And from a business perspective as well, I'm not privy to anything about Google or the developers and what they're offering. But we're not seeing developers queuing up to go on Stadia. We're seeing some here and there, but that can only mean it's just not worth doing. And that's the cynic in me, but you have to look at certain... for example, way back when Windows Phone was out as a thing. Now, this, please don't turn off viewers. They made the mistake of viewers again. I keep saying that. you know what? It's an ecosystem that they need to create and fund and really work on. Whether or not they have the stomach to do so, I'm not convinced. So I think it'll end up being grandfathered off. You know, who knows? Maybe even within 6 to 12 months. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not sure I will be.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm all for exploring new ways of doing things, and that's cool that someone's trying it. Just not for me, that's all. But I will test it out. I'm assuming I'm going to test it. I have a Netflix account and my ancient old Android, so I might as well give it a go.
Absolutely nothing to lose. Yeah, so we'll see. I don't have an Android. I'm waiting to get the new Google phone because I've been iOS forever. And I think it's time I had another look at something else.
I thought but that as well. And then I used an Android for a while and I was just like, oh my God, this is slow and frustrating.
The Bond, it's such a, they've done a great job of making their service very, very sticky, that it will take a lot for me to move away from it. But maybe the new Google phone is something that I might be looking at. But Join us next week for tech tips and a change to the podcast. No, seriously, seriously, only joking. But yeah, I mean, the Netflix games, we'll have a watching brief on that and see how it develops over the weeks and months.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it, definitely. Mm. Right, so that is news article number one that sort of popped up. Just strange timing. That worked out perfectly well for us. That was nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the next thing, this is more personally for me because I'm interested in it. So so we're going
to
cover it.
I'll leave this one to you. You chat away.
Right, so Unfold Games. I'm pretty sure I mention these every week at the minute. Unfold Games, which is the studio from Vlad Mahulets. The game is called Dark, again, D-A-R-Q. If you haven't played it, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You need to go and play Dark. It's absolutely genius.
It's an incredible game from a self-taught developer who seems to be something of a genius in everything he does.
Yeah, genius obviously gets banded around quite a lot for things, but honestly, Vlad is absolutely a genius, and some of the stuff he's creating is just ridiculous. But he's just announced that Dark is actually getting its own comic book. Now, it's going to be a 60-page book, which is pretty hefty for a comic book. Mm. And I'm going to insert my name dropping here. I was speaking to Vlad.
There we go. Fame is going to your head already.
You know, just like you do.
After four episodes.
But to be honest, I sent him a message just asking some questions about the comic. And as always with Vlad, he is so responsive and generous with his time. He always responds, answers all the questions. Don't go message him, everybody.
yeah, you've just set him up.
Yeah,
there.
Sorry, Vlad. I apologize. But I just asked him a couple of questions on, what the comic book was and did he do any of the artwork and what happened to it. And he said that he wrote the story for the comic book and he worked with an editor, which is Dean Clark, and a proofreader.
Mm. Right, okay.
And then it starts getting, he starts name dropping here. It gets really fancy. So these names might not mean much to you or me, but I'm going to read them out anyways because as the conversation was. So we've got...
I'm not a big comic book fan, but maybe I should start looking into it.
Well, no, again, nor am I, but this looks fascinating.
I can see, but you are. I can see how excited you are.
I know, I am.
And in the voice.
It's because it's from Vlad. Honestly, I'd buy anything he makes.
Man crush.
Yeah, man crush. So it's got Nancy Height was the proofreader, and the comic book... Mm-hmm. was art directed by former Disney and DreamWorks artist Kelsey Haley.
There's some connections there.
I know. And it was drawn and inked by Marco Ferraris. Again, not someone I know, but hey, I'm just giving you the information. And it was coloured by, oh my God, Chiara Parisi.
Yeah.
Yep. Names I can't pronounce.
And names I'm not too familiar with. No. But I think it's really... incredible the journey that chap has taken with that character and that game, considering where he was completely self-taught, as we said, and now branching out into more and more things. So good job, well done here.
So I'm definitely gonna pick this up, but if you want to sign up, I'll leave a link in the show notes, but there's a, if you sign up to his email list, you'll get a notification of when the comic book drops.
I'll go and do that as soon as we finished.
Fascinating stuff, can't wait to see it, and again, we'll cover it when it comes out. Very cool.
Brilliant.
If we move on to games that we've been playing this week, I think
it's been a busy week.
You've been busier than me, I think.
I've been busy. I've been doing lots of pre-review games because November being November, it is all about the AAAs come the middle of the month. So the most of the indie games that are coming out this month have been front-loaded into the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th of November. So I've been playing... I've been playing very, very late into the evening, early morning to make sure I get stuff done. I hardly sleep anyway. So, I mean, 3-4 hours a night is normally all I need. So I fill that time playing video games and doing Get Indie Gaming. And I know both of us, though, have played a lot this week of Unpacking, which I played on the PC. And I also had a look at it on the Switch, although the Switch controls didn't kind of... fill me with joy. So I went straight back onto the PC, and it's from a developer, Witch Beam, which in itself is a glorious name.
It is.
And it's a wonderfully calm title. I found it, the title is a Zen-like game, which, you know, sometimes you hear that and you roll your eyes and think, oh, really? But it got me into a certain state of just utter calmness. Now, I did turn the music off. I don't know if you did, but I found that it was on a loop. The music's good. I mean, it's fine. But I thought, no, I think it takes a little bit away from the experience here. So I just had that down and just played as is without that. And so, I mean, what's it? It's essentially a puzzle game where you unpack boxes and find the room in your house for the stuff that you have. And I've moved house. We counted the other day. It's 10 times in 20 years.
Wow.
So the most stupid thing I ever did was move house and get married in the same week.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
So I, for some reasons, naturally, I promised I'd never do that again.
Well, the marriage or moving?
I think both, but we ended up moving a lot more. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really clever. And I loved how the backstory just kind of drip fed with the items that you pack and find. And particularly, there was a scene as well when you realized, or I thought she's gone into a shared house with people she may not necessarily know. And they clearly have conflicting interests, styles, and beliefs. And it felt a little bit, I could picture myself way back when I did something similar. I moved into a flat share and I really didn't like it.
No.
But I think, you know, it, as an experience, I thought it was exactly what it says on the tin. What do you think?
Yeah, if I'm honest, when I first heard the concept of the game and I saw a little screenshot of it,
yeah,
and the explanation, my honest reaction was, why the hell would anybody play this? What is the point in playing a game where you unpack boxes and there's no that's it.
I take it you didn't play the demo, because it's been a long time coming, this game.
Nope, I played nothing. I first heard of it a couple of weeks ago. I didn't even register it.
Because it's been registered before. It's been coming for years, and it went viral when it first popped out. It was really, really
completely
popular.
It.
And then things went down, and it's popped out, and you missed it. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah,
everybody I know, you're one of the only people I've spoken to about this who isn't, yeah, I've heard about that for ages. Can't wait. I played the demo. Loved it.
Yeah, completely missed it. The first time was probably when either you mentioned it last week or something, and I was like, well, I'll check it out. But again, I thought, what is the point of this? Why am I bothering? And it was only because you said that you were going to play it, and I thought, do you know what? All right, I'll at least have an opinion on it if I play it.
Excellent.
However,
Here we go.
As I was playing it, again, it's pixel art graphics, so I'm already in there.
Yeah.
The music, I didn't actually, for someone so bothered by audio, I didn't actually notice the music on a loop. It didn't, I was too busy concentrating on the game. So I was okay with the music, to be honest.
I had no idea you were so obsessed with audio. We both listened to a podcast this week that's, we're not going to name it.
Nope.
It's a reasonably large podcast.
It is.
But both of us walked away going, that audio is not very good. But that's where they are, and they're doing rather well. So maybe we're doing something. No, let's stop that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
There.
Drove me mad, the audio on the podcast. Oh my God.
Back. Yeah. Back to your audio issues.
I was okay with it. So I started playing, and again, I was clicking around going, what is the point of this? However, an hour or so later, I was like, oh my God, this is like you said, this is like a trance. I didn't even realize I was playing it. So
there you go.
It's like you said, it's a very, like, it's almost like a hint of a story. And
yes, it's almost subtle and it's clever and it kind of whips around in the background.
And you could play it and try and follow the story as much as you want, or you could totally ignore the story and just enjoy putting stuff on shelves. And that is totally fine as well.
I enjoyed the unpacking of the games consoles and things like that, and the
PC.
Dice. The PC. But the stuff sometimes, it came with her on the next move as well. So consoles weren't just chucked in the bin and things like this.
Little trinkets followed you to put on the window ledge and stuff. It was very good.
Yeah. And as I said, though, there was that scene when I thought, oh, I'm back in that flat share I didn't like. Well, how did you feel it wrapped up? You played it all the way through?
No, I didn't. I literally played this last night. And I didn't even attend to it. I just thought I'd load it up. And then I was a couple of hours
in. Spoilers. I won't spoil it for you or anybody else.
But what I did
it's
like,
definitely worth playing all the way through. It's about 5 or so hours long.
Oh, okay. But I went into the menu system.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really liked in the accessibility area, which I always dive into, they had the tick box of place items anywhere.
Yes.
Which, if you're looking to play this, because you could play this as an adult or as kids. Little kids can play this, no problem at all. Just enjoy putting stuff on the shelves and moving teddies around. And the fact that you can put because obviously there's certain places that you can place items. That's the point. Bookshelves, take books, yes, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact that you can tick that box so kids can just enjoy unpacking and putting items away was a really, really good move. I really like that.
Yeah, and even for me, sometimes I had to play with that as well because I thought, no, I want this item to go there. If I was living there, it would go there. Yeah. So stop telling me that I can't do it in this universe. So good spot there. We're definitely on the similar wavelengths.
But I actually, I played on the Xbox Game Pass on the PC.
Oh, it's on Game Pass as well, isn't it?
Yes. So I played it on PC. Yeah, exactly. Because I wouldn't have bought it knowing just the overview. I would have gone, I'm not paying money to put stuff away in boxes. But I actually really, I would recommend this. If you've not played it.
Yeah, I would too.
I would genuinely recommend this. If you want something chilled, you can just kind of, if you want to watch a film or do something on the side and you just want to click some stuff away, very, very relaxing. I enjoyed it.
So I actually played some of it whilst listening to the football on the radio. So as I said, I turned off, soccer for our American viewers. Stop it. Every time I say this. Yeah, I listened to it with the soccer in the background and it just was something like I could pay attention to, but I could zone in and out of and still enjoy doing it. Yeah, very clever. Really, really enjoyed it.
So what else did I play? I mentioned last week that I bought the game Greek. Remember I mentioned, and I bought the wrong game.
You bought Creeks or something, I think Creek, it was instead. Yeah. Which I do have the physical copy of that game for Switch.
Oh, really?
Again, I don't know why I'm pointing, but it's over there in the corner. You just can't see it.
But Greek is actually, I played Greek, and I was really impressed. I think you should, I don't know if you've played this, but I think you should check it out. It's
in my backlog. I downloaded it after we spoke last week. I just haven't yet played it.
Just like a puzzle platformer. Mm-hmm. But you take control. I know this is becoming quite a popular style now where you take control of like three characters and you can switch between them and they all do different things. But what was really cool is that you switch between them, but they all follow you and you can actually like press a button so they all run together. But the problem is they all jump at the same time. So they can be stretched out across the screen. And then when you press jump, they all jump. It's a real mind bender. But it's done really well. The art is gorgeous, like hand drawn characters and art. It looks great. And some really good puzzles.
I'm going to play this later this evening, I think, as we tick on the hours before the early hours, definitely.
I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the puzzles. I thought the puzzles were difficult enough, but not too difficult. Mm-hmm.
Always, all the links will be in the show description, so you don't have to worry about not missing out on having a look as well. And as always, if anything from this show, if you could pop in and wish list those games, if that's your thing on Steam, because a wish list is very similar in ways to that whole click, like, subscribe stuff that YouTubers talk about. Helps the algorithm, helps engagement, and helps out the developer.
It does, yeah. I mean, developers are always asking to wish list stuff, and there's a reason for that, because it pushes them up the algorithm and helps them gauge interest. So, yeah, please do that.
Definitely. Good point. Now, I don't suppose if you've been playing Let's Build a Zoo. It comes out on November the 5th.
No, I did request a little tester of it, but I never got a reply.
Oh dear. Well, I was lucky enough to I was lucky enough to get one. And it's from No More Robots. Actually, Mike from No More Robots is single-handedly responsible for me not stopping the channel about 2.5 to 3 years ago when I was chatting to him about business plans of moving away from video and into the print world, which he politely said in his way that would be a very silly thing to do, and here's why. So, Mike, if you're listening, thank you very much for that. We had a chat at Rezzed in 2018, I think it was. It's been a long time, but anyway, that's what happened then. And if you haven't seen it, it's a sim tycoon game that's quite different. I mean, it's got the standard things. The idea is you build a zoo, you get people in, they pay money, and then you build and build and build. Although there's a few things you can do here that are unlike any other sim zoo game you've ever played. And you can do, I'm going to call it DNA mashing, where you can stitch together over 300,000 different types of animal together. So you can have a panda owl, a giraffe pant, and many other things that you can think of or probably haven't thought of. But you can also go really, really dark with this game. And I don't know if you ever remember or watch an episode of The Simpsons where Springfield Elementary School does a deal with the boss of the local mafia to provide milk. And the contract states it must be dog milk or better. And they end up milking rats. And you can't exactly do that, but you can go into the black market and do loads of dodgy things. And it's really dark and subversive, and I really enjoyed it. You can play it above board. Now, I've got two saves going at the moment. I played one where I was this, I don't know, the Willy Wonka version of the zookeeper. Just very, very polite, very nice. But another one where I was doing all sorts of dodgy dealings in the background. And I urge you, if you haven't seen this game, go and have a look at it, particularly streamers who, there's no embargo on this, even though it launches on the 5th onto PC. People are doing some really cool things on Twitch and YouTube streaming with this. And I don't want to spoil it here, but I would urge people go and have a look elsewhere, because for me, it's one of the best Sim Tycoon games I've played in years. And I've played an awful lot of those. It made me smile, it made me laugh, it made me cringe. And it made me think, the mind of the people who've created this, and in some ways the publishers as well, it's, yeah, a very, very good match for the sort of stuff that I'm just playing at the moment. So, thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's another game I wasn't particularly interested in. Another sim game. It's not really my style, but it was only when I saw one of your latest video, I think, where you were talking about it. And it was the mention of the dark side that really got me intrigued. And I thought, oh, actually, I would like to play it now just to see what I can create. And that is a really cool feature.
That video is really doing well. It's the best video on the channel for at least 6 months. And I messed around when I posted it, but also in kind of the SEO in the background. And I was doing a bit of things here and there, and it's something that got 68% more views than normal.
Wow.
And it's doing really, really well. But I also need to update my the channel in terms of when I'm doing stuff. But now I've got more flexibility in my life. I'm going to try for between 2 and 3 videos a week and 1 and 2 streams. And obviously this podcast, which, listeners, is doing really, really well. Yes. And we're not just hyping it for the sake of hyping it. In terms of the viewers, in terms of the listeners, it's way above what we thought would be possible. And even the website, accesspoint.gg, which I've still yet to finish properly, has got, in my mind, about 200 to 300% more clicks than I expected after a month. So many thanks for everybody supporting this podcast and everything else that we do out in the wider world of social and YouTube.
Yeah, I agree. It's been, thank you to everybody, because it's been really, really well received, and we're really happy. Mm. We actually had a couple of reviews as well on Apple, which were super generous. As we're running quite long, I might read one out next week for one of the reviews, because it was so nicely worded.
It was very, very nice.
Very generous. So thank you very much.
Mm. What about anything else? Because I there's a short story I found in the loft, a Nintendo Wii console.
Oh.
And I brought it down from the loft. It's like the dad coming to the kitchen table at Christmas with the turkey, showing it off to my son.
Look at this.
He's like, what's that? And you wait, son, watch this. And we loaded it up. I handed him the whatever they're called.
Nunchuck.
Nunchuck. That's it. I think I can see a Wii console in the background recording.
I think I've got...
Yeah, you've got every console
got all of
in
them
the background.
There, there's like 3 Wiis, I think.
But, so I fire it up, and his first thing is, Dad, this looks rubbish. Just look at those. What are they? And I said, just you wait. And we fired up Wii Sports. Remember, this game came free with the console.
It did.
And at the time as well, do you remember, it was the first in the next-gen console, so it was HD, 1080p, everyone else. And Nintendo come up with this non-HD game with these nunchuck things, and it was, to this day, I remember a revelation. It's still amazing to play now. So I played this with my son, wife, and my daughter, and we played Wii Sports pretty much all of Sunday, because it rained all of Sunday. And the fun and the laughter and the joy we had, particularly in playing bowling. Do you remember that? You started off bowling and you'd do the action. You'd go all in and go, and really, you know, 2 hours later, you're just flicking your wrist. You're just doing that.
Yeah.
Same with tennis. When he started off, my son suddenly thinks he's Boris Becker or Rafa Nadal for people generation. Who were born after 1996. And he was running around the room. And he did accidentally let go of the nunchuck at one point, and it bounced around and thankfully hit the sofa. But do you remember the stories of when it launched, of like shattered TVs and things like this, because people were just chucking that thing? Oh,
I remember, I don't know if it launched originally without the wrist straps or something, and they had to. Is that right?
Am I
remembering that differently and had to change it? Maybe I'm making that up.
I got one on launch day for work. It was one of those things all the way back when we had one delivered to test for a certain stuff that I was doing for the day job back then. And I walked home with it and plugged it in, and I also played Call of Duty, and playing Call of Duty, you're using the nunchucks to line up the sight.
Yeah.
That didn't quite work.
No.
But
I remember playing Zelda actually like that, and the nunchuck was your shield, and the Wiimote was your arrow. It was very cool.
Stunning.
Genius.
Stunning console. And the thing is, absolutely brilliant.
It got you off your couch and got you standing up, which is really important. Yeah. And I remember my son, when he was playing, he used to like the sword fighting. And you should just go through, go, bap, 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 and just swing it everywhere, killing everybody. Yeah. And he loved it. And again, gets your heart rate going. Really, really cool. I love the Wii.
So we've decided we're keeping the Wii downstairs in the front room. I've got a setup there, which has got a PC, a very slimline one, which we play games on the main TV. Xbox Series S, and now a slightly yellowing Nintendo Wii, because all white plastic of that era does go yellow, but it's got its charms, and as a console I deeply adore it, and it's lovely that my kids are starting to play it as well, alongside with all the other stuff they did.
Yeah,
I haven't yet convinced them that Super Mario Galaxy 2 is the best game ever that came out on the Wii, but I'm going to, because I am right, and I will take I will take nothing else.
Well, I can't think of a better one, to be honest. I think that is top Brilliant. Of the list. I agree, I'm with you.
One last thing before we go, and it was announced last week, but I think we both missed it. Haunted Chocolatier from Concerned Ape. That is the Stardew Valley guy. So a new game is coming at some point. I don't know when. I know the developer has said it's still a long way from being ready. But from what I've seen, it does look very Stardew Valley 2 kind of thing.
It does look very Stardew Valley. Absolutely.
But, you know, that's the formula works. But, I mean, I just thought, let's have a look. I looked at the trailer and thought, okay, let's see where this goes. I like the idea of it. But also for me, I thought it might be a little bit negative and a little bit spooky and scary. But I read a little bit more and he said, no, the castle is about the allure of the unknown. And he said the ghosts that appear in the castle where you make your chocolate and I guess sell it at some sort of chocolate-related castle-type farm shop thing, they relate to the imprint of the past. So let's see where he goes with that. But I just wanted to add that in as the last thing here before we trail off and go about our way.
Yeah, I mean, it's the sort of developer that has got enough credit in the bank now with Stardew Valley that I think everybody who's interested is going to check this out because of the great work that Stardew was. I mean, you know.
There's a board game for Stardew, which is out in the States, and I tried to get hold of one but haven't been able to. I hope the official licensed version does make it to Europe at some point in the future. But you're right, this game will go on sale in 2-3 years' time, and it'll still sell the absolute bucket loads and will be very much a hot cake.
Yeah, I'm sure as well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Again, when we get some more details, we'll take a look at it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. As soon as we know more, we're bound to talk about it here on this Access Point podcast.
So that brings us to the end of episode number 5. And if you want to find out some more information, the best place to go is probably the website, which is accesspoint.gg. There is a contact form on there. There will be some beautiful pictures of us both once Stuart...
I need to get my backside in gear and code it and get it up and running. I know it's been a few weeks. I keep saying I'm doing it today, and then something happens. So I'll try and do it today, tomorrow.
Cool. So there's a contact form on there, all the sort of bits of info. If you want to find out, head to accesspoint.gg. And I think that wraps up for this week.
Yeah, it's been another great time in talking with you. It's short and sweet, and I think the length of this works. Maybe we'll do some extra long special editions here and there. But we're also getting our first few guests lined up. So part of the podcast, we did want to talk to people involved in game making. And just as the tagline goes, listen to their stories. So maybe not next week, hopefully the week after, we'll have our first guest who I think many of you will know. And yeah, I'm looking forward to having a chat with them.
Yeah, I think the couple of guests we've got sort of lined up already, I'm really excited. I think everybody's going to love hearing these episodes because I can't wait myself. So it'll be good.
Brilliant. Okay then. Well, I guess that's all from us.
Speak to you next week.
Yeah. Cheerio,
everyone. Goodbye.